And why don't we just lift our hands over to Pastor Lavinia. And Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father, for Pastor Lavinia and the word that you, everything she says, Lord God, that it resonates with us, Lord God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to just lavish on her, Lord God, this morning. We pray, Lord God, that as we hear her words, Father, that we receive it, Lord God, that we are encouraged, that we are convicted, Lord God, that we are changed, Lord God, from the inside out, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you also bless her, Lord God, as she speaks a message, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you will give her so much peace, Lord God, so much of your joy, Lord God, so much of your wisdom as she shares with us what you've been sharing with her, Lord God. We thank you for her time. We thank you that she has given up to be with us this morning. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. How are you today? Good. Anyone a bit cold like me? But I'm talking about the outside. It was quite chilly today, but it's nice and warm in here. Yes. Amen. So, guys, well, I know some of you. I've seen some of you before, but I know many of you are new. Welcome if you're brand new here today. Or if you're recently new, just a little bit about me. So I am, I'm a wife. So this is my husband here, Ravi, the front row. I'm a mom of two children, and I'm a grandma. I've got a little 8-month-old granddaughter, and my daughter and son-in-law live with us in our house, so I get to see her every single day. And here's a little secret I want to tell you. I'm her favorite. Isn't that right, Ravi? So, yeah, when she sees me, she gets so excited, and then she just puts her arms up and she wants me to carry her. But not only that, but just a little bit about my background. I was born in Malaysia. I grew up in Malaysia and India. So I'm South Indian. Any Tamils in the house? Tamils, Yenanga, Eprirkinga. So that's, and I've been here ever since. I trained as a doctor, so I was a hospital doctor and then a GP for many years. But about 10 years ago, God gave me an opportunity to give that up and to really teach and preach and minister on not just things of the Bible, of the Word of God. Actually, I need my Bible. I forgot to bring it out. Here it is. Yeah, so I need, God has really given me opportunities to teach from his word, particularly in the area of health and healing and mental health. How many of you have had some struggles with mental health, right? Especially during COVID and lockdown. That was a horrible time for everybody right across the world. That's a bit about me, and I'm part of Equippers Church, so I'm one of the pastors at Equippers Church, and I spend my time going to different places, teaching and praying for people. I particularly love to pray for people who are struggling in different areas of their life, like anxiety, depression, and I've seen God break through and bring healing again and again. And Janice, thank you for introducing me. And one of the things she said was, she's a powerful woman of God. And, you know, that is only because I serve a powerful God. And I'm leaning on him and relying on his power. But I just want to tell you a little bit about my story. So you've heard all the good bits, you know, married, children, grandchildren. But many years ago, actually in the early years of my marriage, so we've been married for nearly 38 years. And I think I'd really be divorced. I mean, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying that's how things went really bad in the early years of my marriage. I don't have time to tell you all the story, but just stuff happened. We were not getting along. Me and I was told I had this bad disease inside me that I couldn't have children, So I was just losing hope and getting fed up of life. I thought it's better if I even end my life. I was very, very low. And I was tired. I was tired of just waking up every morning without any hope, without things looking any better. How many of you have experienced that? Where I know some of you have had really terrible challenges, even with changing countries and leaving horrible places of war and persecution. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, do I have any hope? You know, maybe I've come here today to this place called church and maybe someone might give me some hope. But here's what happened in my life. So I was in this place of real desperation. And something in me, perhaps from my childhood, just thought, okay, God, if you're real, you know, God of the Bible, because I grew up learning about God, but I just didn't really have a relationship with him. And I just said, God, if you're really the God of the Bible, can you help me? You've helped so many people in the Bible. Can you help me? And amazingly, my friend put me in touch with this other pastor and his wife that I've never met before. And they started to teach me about the power of prayer, how to pray. So not praying like, God, will you help me? God, please, I beg you, do something. But it's more a prayer that we see again and again in the Bible where we just say, God, my situation's really bad, but I need your wisdom. So I cried out to God, and then I felt like God was just saying to me, read my word. Read this word. And I just started to read. I started to get some ideas. I believed at that time they were from God of how to pray for my husband, for my situation. And then this pastor started to see miracles. As I told you, I have two children. I don't know if I told you. I have two children. And God did miracles. And not only that, but a few years later, Jesus actually appeared to my husband. He was following after another faith. He can tell you about that later. He was following after another God. And Jesus appeared to him. And he said yes to Jesus. He changed. I changed as a result. And God just started to take my family into a whole new life of following him and seeing more and more miracles. So I want to tell you that in those early years, one of the key things was I used to think of my husband as my enemy number one. Sorry, Ravi. It's all coming out now. It's all coming out. Don't worry. He knows this. You know, like when you're in families and you're arguing and you're fighting, you think they're the problem. If only they would get sorted, I will be fine. But what I learned from the Bible is that the enemy is not our loved ones or our husband, wife, or it's not even the government. It's not the people who persecute us. There is a real enemy, and he is called the devil. And that he has schemes, he has plans to ruin our lives. And when I realized that, I prayed differently. So I'm going to teach you some of those things of how I prayed. But I prayed. I prayed. I fought for my family, the enemy. And I said, God, would you shine your light and reveal yourself to my family that you are God and that there is no other God. And over time, this is exactly what he did. But here's a key thing I want to tell you, and then you're going to understand why I'm telling you all this. Years later, after all of this hardship and then the miracles that God did, in our church, in Equippers, there's from time to time, we have these conferences. And there was one time a man who was a prophet. So for those of you who don't know what that means, a prophet is somebody who has a particular gift from God that they, in that moment, God tells them stuff about somebody, and then they start to say those words, usually with a promise, usually with a hope of something even better to come. And this prophet prayed over me, and this is only about 10 years ago, and he said this. He said to me, the spiritual momentum or the spiritual force of your family really revolves around you. He's telling me this. Really revolves around you. It was your hunger, your desire, your pursuit of God. It stirred your husband, awoke your children, and here you are standing as a godly woman and a leader. My God, imagine hearing this, right? It's like, oh my God, you're telling me all of this stuff. And here's some key words I want you to say, to hear. He said, and the Lord says, you are my secret weapon in your family, in your community. Secret weapon? I was like, what? Me? Like God saying, you are my secret weapon. So the title of my message this morning is God's Secret Weapon. And I want to tell you that every one of you here is God's secret weapon. Weapon for what? Weapon to demolish other people with your tongue, with your words. Weapon to go and do crazy things and kill people on the street. No. God's secret weapon is a weapon that actually ends up bringing hope and unity. Amen. Yeah? So let's see what that's all about. Because actually in the Bible, we see people bringing hope and transforming situations again and again. And we're going to go to this book called the Book of Judges. Yeah, it's one of those books that's a little bit tricky to read. It's in the Old Testament. And in that book, we see a pattern of repeated things that happen. So what is happening in that book, God tells us, is that his children, the children of Israel, would go off track, ignore God, go after other things, and basically make a real mess of society. Then what happens is God's protection is lifted from them, and enemies come and destroy them, kill them, burn their villages, and then they're like, oh my God, everything's going wrong, and they call out to God and say, God, please help us, please help us. And in this particular book of Judges, what we see is that God would then raise up a man or a woman who will come and do whatever was needed to be done to set them free. Judges chapter 4. Okay, so the words are going to come up. I'm going to go a bit slower because it's quite complex. And anyone here need a translator? Anyone need help? Or are you all good with English? Yeah? Great. Okay. So follow along with me. So it says here, after Ehud, who's a previous judge's death, the Israelites again did evil in God's sight. So the Lord turned them over to this evil king, King Jabin of Hazor, a Canaanite king, and his commander was a guy called Sisera, who lived in that really difficult to pronounce place. So I'm not even going to try. And then it says that this man, this evil king's chief general, Sisera, had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Hello, welcome, guys. Come on in. You'll come just in time to hear the word of God. Amen. So, just stop for a moment. 900 iron chariots. Do you know what I found out? That those iron chariots were like the enemy's secret weapon. The enemy has always got a secret weapon. And I found out that those iron chariots were like modern-day tanks. And what it was that these chariots were so strong and so powerful. And the way that they were made, that they had knives sticking outside the wheels. So when these chariots raced along, they would slice people's legs, the enemy's legs. I know, it's horrible, the thought of it. So they were people were so afraid of the enemy and that these powerful chariots. Israel didn't have chariots like that. They just had people on horses and spears and swords. That was it. So here's what happened. Okay, so carrying on from verse 3. So this enemy with 900 iron chariots ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. The Bible says, then, everybody say then. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. There's got to come a time in your life and my life where we say, God, I'm out for help. And it says in verse 4, there was this lady called Deborah. It's interesting. God uses men and women to fulfill his purposes. Okay, so if any of you women are... Deborah, the wife of Labidoth, was a prophet. So here's a lady prophet, which means that she had the special ability that God gave her to know what to do, to see the situation, and to come up with a solution. So she was a prophet who was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under this palm of Deborah, which is basically a tree, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment, which means they would go to her for help. One day, she sent for Israel's commander, Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in this place called Kadesh in Naphtali. So she's now going to tell him what God told her. Okay, so just stop for a moment. These children of Israel are crying out, God, I need your help. We need your help. We are being overwhelmed by this enemy. The enemy is killing our people with all these horrible chariots. God, we need your help. Then God speaks to this woman, Deborah. So Janice, you're my Deborah here, okay? Speaks to Deborah and says something, gives her a strategy. And here the Bible records what she now tells the commander, okay? Verse 6, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Call out 10,000 warriors from these two tribes at Mount Tabor. And I will call out Sisera, the evil commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors to this particular river. There I will give you victory over him. And then you don't have time to read the rest of that chapter, but if you did read that, you'll see that God did some amazing things that totally destroyed this enemy with their 900 iron chariots. And then we see in Judges chapter 5, the same lady Deborah's singing the song. Okay, and this is the crunch part. Now, Deborah's singing a song to tell everybody what happened. Let's go to Judges 5, verses 6 and 7. She says, in those days of Shamgar, son of Anath, so just saying those bad days, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths, which means that the people couldn't go down the main roads. So imagine, like here we are, New Malden, and did you use the A3 and did you use the main roads to get here? How many used the A3? Yeah? Maybe how many of you used the trains? Yeah, trains, underground. Did you have any problem? Did you have people coming to try to kill you or block the roads? No, there was peace. But in those days, what she was saying was that the A3 was full of people, the chariots. What's this road called? Burlington Road? Burlington Road was full of murderers and robbers. Like, there was havoc. But then she says here, villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back because they were so scared for 20 years. Can you say this word? Until. Until. Until I, Deborah, arose. Arose as a mother in Israel. Wow. Okay? So think of today. Okay, there's havoc, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's our children so confused. There's young people going into drugs and addictions. Maybe some of us here are troubled by addictions as well. But she says these amazing words. She says, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. And you might think, is this a message for Mother's Day? Like, is it about mothers, we rise up? Maybe. But I want to tell you, there's something very powerful. That word, mother, in the Hebrew, it can mean father or mother. But the translators have put it here as mother because it's Deborah. But there's something even more powerful. If you look at that word a bit deeper, that word mother, or it could be father, the root of that word means strong glue. Strong glue. Now, I don't know about you, but I need some strong glue in my life, okay? For example, my Bible, like any book. If there wasn't strong glue holding the pages, will there be much of this Bible left? In fact, we've had some Bibles, Ravi, haven't we, over the years, that after a while, the papers fall out and the whole Bible's falling apart and we end up having to buy another Bible. Which is really sad, thinking considering many people in the world don't even have a Bible. So we've got, 10 Bibles in our house. And a few have fallen apart. If there wasn't strong glue holding this lectern, it would fall over the ground the moment I touched it. Okay? Just think of this building. If there wasn't strong glue holding some of these pieces together, this place will fall apart. Are you getting the picture? I want to put it to you that every one of you, God has put you in situations where you can rise up and be the strong glue to hold situations together. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your community. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe even it's your help you to be the strong glue. Okay, so I want to just give you three strategies to be the person who is basically God's secret weapon for your situation. Number one, cry out to God. Okay, cry out to God. I know many of you are going through real struggles. I know that some of you maybe kept that secret because it was too painful to share with anybody. Family breakdowns, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's mental health issues, maybe it's financial issues. Okay, you're going through real hardships. But I want to say first and foremost, like I did all those years ago, cry out to God and say, God, this is what's going on. Because God wants you to be honest. God doesn't want you to come to him and just say, I don't need you, everything's fine, Lord, I've sorted it all out. No, he says, come to me because I love you. I care for you. Tell me your problems. He wants you to be honest with him. Okay, so number one, cry out to God. But then number two, ask him for a strategy. And in my life, how did I get a strategy? So when we talk about glue, I glued myself to this word. I was reading it night and day. Okay, just going through it, just because I love God, not because I want a strategy, but just because I love God and I realize that he's the only help in my life. Welcome, guys, welcome. Grab a seat. But as I glued myself to this word, I found that God started to speak to me. How many of you would love the God of the universe to speak to you? Anyone? Yeah? And he does. He will speak to you ideas, strategies of what to do, who you need to speak to, who you need to call, how you need to pray. And then the third thing is that actually you have to then get up, arise, which means you've got to start praying. It may be that you start being kind. So years ago, now I know you're going to find this very hard to believe, but I wasn't a very kind person. In those early years that I was going through all this trouble, with my husband. So those of you who come late, I'm sorry you've missed the beginning of the story. But I was saying earlier that I had real relationship problems, and I was an angry wife. I was shouting. I was almost swearing, but I didn't actually, did I? I was just in my state of having no hope. I would just lash out at the very people that I should love. But God said to me, start being kind. Speak loving words. Start to serve. So that was a strategy he gave me. And then he said, start to pray. And I just said, God, I ask you to release in my home peace. Would you release in my home love? Lord, would you give me a loving heart and a kind heart? And you know what? God started to change me from the inside out. Amen. In Daniel 11, so 32, really coming to the end. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It's a very powerful verse. It says this: the people who know their God will be strong. You could say will be like strong glue. They will carry out great exploits. Another version says, the people who know their God will be strong and take action. Okay? So, just to summarize, you and I, every one of us is God's secret weapon for our families, for our communities. You may not feel it, but I want you to please start to believe it, that there's something that God has put in you to be the change, to be the transformation. So we're going to cry out to God, ask him for a strategy, and then just start to do that. That's when we arise. So I'm going to ask you to arise, to stand up now. And I would love to pray for you. And that if you've been hearing the story today of my life and the story of Deborah, and you feel in your heart that God is just stirring you up today, that you feel like, God, I need your help because I'm facing a tough situation. I'm not seeing any change in this area of my family or my health or in my relationships or with my job. If you're facing a challenge, I'd love you to just take a hand and just put it here on your heart. Yeah, then I can see who I'm praying for particularly. So God, you see every person here who needs your help today, Lord. So in the name of Jesus, I now take authority over every work of the enemy that has caused you to lose hope, to have no joy, to see no future. We disable every work of the enemy now in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. I speak to discouragement. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to release hope into your people today. Would you release a new sense of hope and a new sense of life? Would you give them, Lord, just a love for reading your word? Would you draw them to your scriptures and teach them, Lord, about strategies of prayer, strategies of hope? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And just one last thing I'd love to pray is, this life with God where you're going to be his voice of hope, his secret weapon. You can be the person who can see change in your life. It all begins from the day you say yes to Jesus. Yeah? So there's got to be a time when you and I, like I did this many years ago, where we say, Jesus, come into my life and I make you number one. For those of you who came late, I told everyone that my husband here, Ravi, you can talk to him later. He was following after another faith. He was actually a Hindu. But as I prayed for him and other people prayed for him, one day Jesus himself appeared to him and said, "Give me your life." So I want to invite you today, if you've never said yes to Jesus, Jesus is here today and he's saying to you, "Will you give me your life? Would you put Jesus as the Lord of your life?" Okay, so I'm going to give you all an opportunity to do that. And it's just saying a prayer. So if we could all say this prayer together with me, line by line. Are you ready? Okay. So here we go. Jesus, today I realize that I need you in my life. I choose to believe that you died for me and you've risen again and you are alive today. Jesus, I give you my life. My Lord. Amen. And that's how we begin this life with Jesus. And when you ask him to be your Lord and come into your life, he will always do that. He'll never say no. But I just want to ask you, if you did that for the very first time, you've never done this before, or you're coming back to Jesus, I would love to know that you did this today so we can give you some resources like a Bible. So I'm just going to ask everybody, would you mind just closing your eyes and just bowing your head to respect everyone's privacy? Could you do that? Just close your eyes. Bow your head. But if you said yes to Jesus for the first time, or you're coming back to him, could you just quickly put up your hand and let me see it? Just put up your hand. Give me a wave. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. So many people saying yes to Jesus for the first time today or coming back. Amen. Amen. Can we just put our hands together? Thank Jesus. And Janice is going to tell you all what you need to do as your next steps. Bless you guys.
Wow. God is good. What a good word. Thank you so much, Pastor Lavinia, for just showing us that we can arise and shine. God is so good. And in this moment, I just want to say a quick prayer for Chris and Rachel, who have welcomed a new baby, raise their baby boy, Joshua, that they will receive power, that they will know that in God, they can arise and stand up to the challenge that they have for the rest of their lives now. And so, Lord, we just pray for Chris and Rachel, Lord. And we can sense their absence, Lord God. We love them so much. And, Lord, I pray that wherever they are right now as they are raising that little boy, that, Lord, they will also feel the presence of God, that they will also know, Lord, that they can come to you, they can cry out, that there are strategies, and that they can arise. And Lord, I pray, Father, that for Joshua as he grows up, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that that you would just raise him up to be a young child in the Lord, Lord, who is so excited for your word. And I just pray, Father, that you bless them as a family. As we go out, Lord, I pray, Father, that you will also help us, Father, as we leave this building to take hold of what we heard this morning and put it closely in our hearts, and we will practice that this week in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you said a prayer today for the first time giving your life to Christ, there is a QR code where we can share with you some next steps, the resources, as Pastor Lavinia said. We're so excited that you get to join our family in Christ, and I know heaven rejoices even when one person gives their life. We are going to go out in a song of praise, and let's just thank God. Let's just worship God for what he's done as we go out to the week. There are hospitality at the back, so please stay if you're new. We'd love to have a chat with you. We have some teas, coffee, some special hospitality that's been prepared, and I hope you all have a fantastic week. Now, are we ready to do some praising? Yeah. Let's go.
Well, come on, church. I invite you to stand as we go out with one last praise song. Let's sing your love and me.